introduction, I want to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 13. If you have a Bible, you can follow. If you haven't a Bible, then you can follow as I read these verses. They're introductory verses that I'm reading. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And we'll leave the reading there. Now, the Lord Jesus, he communicated to his hearers in parables. Now, what is a parable? When I was a boy at school a few years ago, they used to say that a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And there's some sense in that, there's some truth in it. But there is, in fact, in a parable, there is an earthly story or an event. And out of that, there is a spiritual meaning that is brought. Now, this is my authority to speak in a parable tonight, because the Lord Jesus, he spake in parables. Now, the story is an actual event that took place. In fact, it was an event which captured global interest. And when I begin to recount the story, you'll remember it. On the 5th of August, 2010, there was a large cave-in at the San Jose copper gold mine in the Atacama Desert, northern Chile in South America. 33 men were trapped. They were trapped 700 meters, or if you like, 2,300 feet underground, and some 5 kilometers, that is 3 miles, from the mine entrance. Now, all access completely cut off, but fortunately for them, there was a good air supply, but food and drink were in very short supply. Now, you get the picture. Here are 33 men. Suddenly, they're cut off. They're cut off. And because of the rock fall, which was not through any cause of their own, they were affected. They were cut off. And there in the bowels of the earth, these 33 men were cut off from the light. And the reality of the situation was that death stared each of them in the face. In fact, theirs was a living death. They realized the impossibility, almost humanly speaking, of any hope. All hope of their being saved was receding by the minute. Now that's the situation of these 33 men. And you know, it reminds me not just of 33 men, but it reminds me of the whole population of this planet. They have been affected by a fall. It's not a fall of rocks that has affected them, but it's the effect of the fall of the first man, Adam, the headman of the race of human beings. God gave him everything to enjoy of this fair creation which he had made. There was one stipulation. There was only one prohibition. And that was, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The devil, tempted by his subtlety and craft, Eve, the most beautiful of women that has ever graced this planet, given to Adam by God. And this woman was beguiled, we're told. She was deceived. She was thoroughly deceived by the devil. And she took of the fruit of the tree, and she ate of it. And she gave to her husband, and he did eat. He disobeyed God. He disobeyed God. And as a result, there was a fall from that position of fellowship which he enjoyed with God. There was a disaster occurred, and it has affected down through the centuries of time all men and women because of his disobedience. We read in Romans chapter 5, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's because of sin that death touches our doors. I know this from a personal way. Very recently, my own brother passed away. Only recently. Why was that? It was because of the disobedience of the first man, who brought sin and death as a consequence into the world. We've been affected by the fall, not of rocks, but of the first man. And as a result, we've been cut off from the light. We're children of darkness. The Bible tells us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We're not comfortable in the presence of God because of his all-seeing, searching eye upon us. We cannot stand before God. We cannot enjoy fellowship with God because something has happened. Something has come between. Something has cut us off from God. And that is as a result of the fall of Adam. So here we are. These 33 men were entombed. And theirs was a hopeless situation. They were, in fact, completely dependent upon outside intervention. I'm reminded of another man in the Bible who was in a situation that he realized was hopeless. And this man was Jonah, the man swallowed by the whale. Jonah. And he said, salvation is of the Lord. If I'm going to be saved, it must be the Lord that saves me. And he knew what it was for God to save him. Here are these men, 33 of them. They couldn't save themselves. All the gold in the mine couldn't pay for their salvation. It was as worthless as the rocks on which they sat. Gold is relative, isn't it? It's relative. And all the gold of that mine couldn't, in any circumstances, save them in the situation in which they find themselves. People long for money. Well, if only I had money, it would solve all the problems of my life. I would be happy. The Bible says this, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? A soul is precious. Your soul is precious to God. My soul is precious to God, and I hope to show you that in a moment or two. And so here we are, these 33 men, they're entombed. They're dependent upon any outside help. Now, the Chilean people They'd gone through the 2010 earthquake and tsunami less than 6 months earlier. And as a result, this led to the government taking over the search and the rescue operation. They took it over from the mine's owners. They became responsible. Here we find that the highest authority became interested in the few. My friend, I tell you, there was never a higher authority than the authority of God in the interest of the sinner. Do you realize each soul is precious to God? He loves us. And he has provided salvation for the masses. So, what did they do? They began 8 exploratory boreholes. These large drills, they began to drill into the earth at different places. And after 17 days, after the accident had happened, a note was found taped to the drill that had come through. And they drew it up. And in red ink, the note said, "We are well in the shelter 33. They were all well, but they were cut off. My friend, here was a situation which gave them renewed hope and renewed motivation. That message, it generated some hope and it revived an interest that they were all alive. Now, I want to stress the highest authority was involved. What motivated them? What was the motivation? Well, it was love and compassion. Their own fellow human beings were cut off. Their situation was desperate. And it was love and compassion which led them to try and intervene. We read a well-known verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." These men were in danger of perishing. We're in danger of perishing. But God has intervened. Salvation has been provided. Because of love and compassion by our God. God's love is so great, as we shall see later, that he has provided salvation. Not only that, we find that the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. You see, divine persons are involved in the salvation of a soul. Isn't it wonderful to think that God himself, his Son Christ, the Spirit of God, are all involved out of love and compassion to save the sinner? And that's what's so wonderful about the gospel message that we preach tonight, is that there is a God who loves us, one who cares for us, one who has our best interests at heart, one who wants to save us. And he has provided salvation, which is available without money and without price and without labour. It's free. So this rescue plan, it was put into operation. Now, what about the men, meanwhile? What about the men? They were going to be down there for some time. What did they need? Well, they needed to be nurtured. They needed to have something to nurture them in this time that they waited for the rescue to take place. And so, they began to drill 3 large drilling rigs. And they were able to provide food. They were able to provide water. They were able to provide a means of communication. They nurtured the men who were down there in the bowels of the earth. It was a plan which was hastily conceived. It was a question of the needs requiring a plan to be put into operation. My friend, I want to tell you this tonight, that God nurtures every human being. Listen to what the Bible tells us. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Forget the idea of those that would say that the world is going to be destroyed by men. Not at all. It says, whilst the earth remaineth, God is nurturing. God is supplying and succoring those that are here. He says, he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You see, God, he provides for those who are ungrateful. God's provided salvation, but men and women, generally speaking, are ungrateful. They don't appreciate the lengths that God has gone to. They don't appreciate the fact that he's given the very best for earth's worst. And yet, God would nourish in addition men and women, and he would make the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send a rain on the just and on the unjust. Now God's plan, this was not hastily conceived. Not like the Chilean government. They had to. The needs depended on a plan being hastily conceived. But God's plan of salvation has not hastily been conceived. Why, when man fell in the garden, when the devil had tempted Eve, God said, even in those early days, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that is the devil, the serpent and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Way back in the garden, God had provided one who would come eventually and crush the serpent's head, destroy him, render him powerless. The Lord Jesus himself was the one who was provided by God for such. So God has provided a plan of salvation. He's not been taken by surprise in any way. Now, as far as the men were concerned, they were dependent. And the cost of it was borne by the Chilean government. The cost in total was borne by the Chilean government. What about salvation? Who bears the cost? It's God who bears the cost. We read in 1 Corinthians that ye are bought with a price. A price has been paid for our salvation. Therefore glorify God in your body. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We take you in thought to a hill outside of the city of Jerusalem. There on Calvary's brow my Saviour died. There he was lifted up upon a cross. The hymn writer has said, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. He bled and died to save the sinner. He bled and died for me. My friend tonight, can you say that he took my place? He suffered in my stead. Can you truly say he is mine? And because he died for me and he bore my sins in his own body on the tree? Well now, the Lord Jesus has provided salvation by his death and resurrection at Calvary. Well now, my friend, here we have a situation that eventually, a borehole was drilled down to where the men were. 33 men. They were all Chilean, except one. The government didn't say, 32 boys, we'll leave the other one. Not at all. It was free for all. My friend, wherever you look in the world, north, south, east, or west, the gospel goes out to all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, rich or poor, whatever nationality, money is not required. Salvation is available to all, provided by God, provided by Christ. Another thing I find very sweet is that it was brought down to where they were. Brought down to where they were. Right down to the very point where they were dying in their want of nurture and in the darkness. Down to, my friend, salvation is brought down to where we are. Right down to where we are. We're told that the grace of God bring us salvation. It's unmerited. It's the favour and the kindness of God shown to us. And it's brought down to where we are. One thing is they had to accept it. Each individual had to step inside that module that was sent down to them. And they were strapped in. And they were transported to the surface. Salvation is like that. It's brought down to where you are. But you have to accept it individually. You can't look to your neighbour. You can't look to your friend. And you say, we'll go together. Not at all. No. It's not like that. It's a personal matter. The grace of God bringeth salvation to where you are. That is inconceivable, isn't it? That there should have been one of these men said, not for me, mister. Thanks very much. I'll wait until they open. He would have died in his sins. No. They each had to accept. And they each had to step over the line. My friend, you need to step over that line. You need to step from that sphere of darkness into his marvellous light. Through faith in the Lord Jesus. That's all that God requires of us. He requires us to turn our back, to repent of our sins, and to believe the gospel. He does the rest. What was required of these men was, you step into the capsule. We'll do the rest. We'll transport you. And you know that's what God does. He saves the sinner who believes. There is no difference, we're told, between the Jew or the Greek. It's no question of nationality. There's no difference. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could be in the heart of Africa. You could be in the affluence of New York. You could feel your need as a sinner, and at the same time, you could cry unto the Lord, and he would hear. He would save the man in Africa. He would save the rich man in America. He would save the woman over in Russia. At the same time, the ear of the Lord is open to let call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's available to all. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, what it is to take the water of life freely. Thirsty sinner, take Christ, the water of life. Taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Salvation has been brought. It's available. It's an individual matter. God saves the individual. I wonder if tonight we could all say, all in the room tonight, I'm saved by the grace of God. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I would die. I wasn't sure about the future. I didn't like to think about it. I put it from my mind. But my friend tonight, if you take Christ as your Saviour, put your trust in Him, God will save you. He will save you. You'll be able to put your head upon the pillow at night and say, it is well with my soul. If my life is taken from me, I know I'll go to be with Christ, which is far better. I know that there's a place provided for me in heaven above. Will you not come to the Lord whilst you have an opportunity? You see, the authorities in Chile, after 69 days of being underground, all 33 were brought safely to the surface on the 13th of October, 2010, almost a year ago. Well, just over a year ago. All of them were brought to the surface over a period of 24 hours. My friend tonight, those that are not saved in this world, the moment they believe, they're saved instantly. That's the wonder of the gospel. It's not a time factor. It doesn't take time to be saved. No. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and God does the rest. Well, now, what happened when they came up? What do you think happened when they came up? Well, I'll tell you what happened. When the last person came back, they relaxed. And they came back to rejoicing. My, wasn't there rejoicing? Wasn't there a great amount of happiness and joy when they came back to the surface? He says in the Bible, concerning the man that had lost the sheep, when he cometh home, with the lost sheep found and upon his shoulders, he says, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, are you going to be the person that will give joy to the angels of heaven over repenting and stepping into Christ for salvation and God saving your precious soul? Why? That's what is available to you. Out of the darkness, think of the blackness of darkness in the bowels of the earth, out of darkness into light. This is what the Bible says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. No fear of judgment. You've got everlasting life now. And shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. They're no longer facing death. They're alive. So is the sinner. Out of darkness into light, from death unto life. He delivered us, we're told, from the power of darkness. Satan, that held us captive, this mighty power of Christ has defeated Satan, and many who believe have been transferred. They've been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Oh, friend, it's lovely tonight to know that you're saved. It's a wonderful thing to know that you've been taken away from Satan's domain and you have the freedom and the liberty of being a child of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. That was the whole purpose of Paul in his preaching. His preaching was to open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Oh yes, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for the believer in the Lord Jesus. Well now, that's a parable, that's a story, with lots of spiritual lessons. If you asked me at the beginning, what's the title of your preaching tonight, mister? I could have said, well, it's the Great Escape. The Great Escape. The Bible warns us about this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Brought down to where we are. Available to us. All you've got to do is to accept it. Freely. No payment. No working. Accept it freely. God will do the rest. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We trust that God will bless his word to each of us tonight. Shall we pray? Our gracious God, we come to thee at the end of this little time together, and we thank thee for spiritual lessons that we can learn from an earthly story, an actual event that took place, where in a wonderful way these 33 men were saved from sure death. But we think of the way in which thou hast provided at great cost to thyself, not only for 33 but for the whole of the world. There is no difference as far as thou art concerned. All are available to receive thy salvation. And we thank thee for the Lord Jesus who has made it possible for us. We thank thee for his death at Calvary's cross. We thank thee for the price that he paid. Grant that tonight there may be those who will respond and believe and be saved. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now shall we just close with a hymn, and then the meeting's over. Hymn number 231. 231, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. We'll start at verse 2, and we'll sing the last 3 verses after the introduction.
There is loss of decay.